I want to pray before I get started. Father God, I just come to you right now, God, thanking you for this day as it comes to an end, God, and thanking you for the opportunity to lift your name high, God, with other believers. And God, I just ask that your spirit fall upon this place, God, that something I say will help lead people closer to you and upbuild your kingdom. God, we give this time to you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So my name is Sherry. I am a sinner saved by grace in recovery for from crack cocaine was my drug of choice. I used it for 25 years, on and off. Caused me a lot of pain and heartache. I've been clean for 8 years. 8 years, clean and sober. And I know that this meeting here usually have a lot of people that are in halfway houses and recovery houses, and I've been to them all. So you know, I understand. I understand. I see it when I come in here every week. I'm reminded. You know, I'm reminded of a time before, and it's been plenty of times. I've been to every facility in Fort Wayne. Every facility in Fort Wayne. I could say I've been to every facility in Fort Wayne, trying to stay clean and sober, and never could. Never could until I gave my life to Jesus Christ this last time, for real. And I think in those 25 years, I did it all in my own strength. Like every time I went to a treatment house, I would think, this is going to be it. This time I'm not going to use again. Every time I thought that this is it. I'm not going to use again. And I would go into that facility, and and most of the programs I completed successfully. I completed every program that I went to mostly successfully because my kids were always on the line. Shortly after I knew that I was an addict, I started having kids. But it didn't stop me from using drugs. My second child was born cocaine positive. And that's when I got involved with Child Protective Services. She's 24 years old today, and that CPS case went on for 8 years before they, at 8 years, 8 years long, back and forth, my kids would go from foster care family to me, back and forth, because once they took the kids, I would get in the program, do everything I had to do to get them back, get a house, a car, a job, get it all, do everything I had to do to get them back and to lose them again. Maybe 6 months later, I start using again. And I did that repeatedly. And the court said, well, you know, you're a tenacious person, a great mother, but you just cannot stop using drugs. And the kids got to have some stability. We can't keep sending them back and forth. And so they terminated my rights in 2002. My rights was terminated. And at that point, I think at first I was a binge smoker. But after that, I became a full-fledged smoker. Narcotics Anonymous talk about, at first we used to get high just on the weekends. Couldn't wait for the weekends to get high. But by the end, we're getting high to live. That was me. I couldn't wake up unless I knew. Usually I had to fall asleep with a little piece so that when I wake up, I got something to get started, you know. By the end, that's how I was. I had to have some to even wake up in the morning because I was that miserable. And so all this week, I was thinking about getting up here, sharing some hope, because that's what I'm doing. I don't wish this lifestyle, the lifestyle of drug using on anybody, not my worst enemy. I would not wish this lifestyle on. And so I was thinking about what to share about, and distractions kept coming up to me. Distractions. John 10:10 says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But God came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And so when I think about that verse, it takes me back over my 25 years. Like I said, every time I went to a recovery house, I thought, this is it. I'm going to stay clean. But a distraction would come. Because he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. I got four main distractions as I thought about it. My four main distractions over this 25 years. And he don't change. He don't change how he come at us. It might be in a different way, but it's always the same thing. It's a repeated circle. In those 25 years, I did the same thing over and over, expecting different results. So my four things that he came at me with was drugs, number one. When I decided to use drugs, that was his way of killing me and destroying me. And with the drugs, Once I started using drugs and I knew I was an addict in my family, I'm one of the first family members that my family is pretty they productive members of society, so I was one of the first ones to get on drugs, and so that was a guilt and a shame that carried. Devil used that. He used that to keep me stuck in that cycle. The guilt and the shame. And every time I use more guilt, more shame would come until it was just a big old onion. A big old onion, and it just stacked up, stacked up, stacked up. But drugs was the number one distraction that he used. Drugs. And then my second one is men. Once I, first, I think men is first. Men was first because I thought I was in love. I wanted to be married at 16. And when that 17, 18-year-old boy didn't do what I thought he should do or love me the way I thought he should love me, I was sick. I was sick. I was sick. And that led to me using drugs, marijuana at first, alcohol on the weekends, trying to hook up with this dude. You know, trying to hook up with the dude, and I was introduced to the drug life. So yeah, men was first, and then you know, when the men don't do what I want to do, you know, ain't acting the way I want to act, and I feel like my life is over, I go and get high. Distraction. They are distractions, especially in recovery. They tell you the first year, stay out of relationships. I ain't listen. I didn't listen. All the recovery centers I went to, I didn't listen to that. And they tell you, your first 30-day program, if you think back, they tell you what you need to do. It took me 25 years later to do it like they said. Get a sponsor. Don't get in a relationship for a year. Work some steps. 90 and 90. Get a foundation. Get a network. Took me 25 years to do what they told me in my first 28-day program at Charter Beacon. My third distraction is money. He'll make me think, you know, after I done messed up so many, I done messed up so much. Oh, you know, as the years build up and the time build up, my finances, my cousins, like, in my family, it's five people that are my age. Like every, my mother and her sisters all got pregnant at the same time. Every kid got like three or four first cousins the same age. So it's like five of us that's 50 right now. And they didn't get on drugs. So whenever I was clean, I was trying to catch up to where I know I should be. Where I know I was capable of being, which was always a distraction. It was always a distraction because the Bible says that, what does Exodus say? Let me read what Exodus says about money. Or did I say, 1 John 2:17. Can somebody read that? Y'all got your Bibles out? I didn't write it down. 1 John 2:17. Money and stuff, it's going to be here. Yeah, that's what it is. We can be distracted. It's a distraction because everything stay the same.
And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever.
That's right. So while I'm thinking that money or something going to make me, give me a good place in life, all that past, I can't take none of that with me. I can't take my status, my money. None of that's going to go with me. When I go, I'm going alone, just me. And it's eternal life then. I don't have to worry about my financial status because it's good living. You know? And my fourth distraction was my past. My past. I was a crackhead that had lost their kids, 4 kids, and so I couldn't live that down. And the devil, even in my clean moments, I always went back. It was a distraction. He'll throw your past in front of you to make you feel like it's no hope. It's no hope. I'll never get them back. I'll never get them back. I always lived in the past. What if I would have did it different? Or I should have did it this way. And I always went back to the drug. Always went back to the drug. But I learned today that I'm a new creature in Christ.
Amen.
Old things are past and the new has come. And I stand on those verses. I think this time around when I got clean and sober in 2012, for one, I had tried to do it every way that I knew how. Every way. I had exhausted all my resources. It was no other way but to give God a chance. I had tried to do it in my own strength and failed so many times that when I was 42 years old, broken, and didn't know what else to do. I had done everything. I can go out and get the best job. I can go and get a house and fix it up. I can do all of that to lose it again. So this time when I got into recovery, my son, nobody ever adopted him. He's 24 years old now. He's 26. At the time he was 18 and aged out of the system. And he came home to me living in a dope infested apartment complex, one bedroom, dope infested apartment complex. And I had accepted living. I had learned to live life like that. It was okay with me. I knew what I was going to do. I knew what I was not going to do. And I just didn't know what else to do. I got high every day. I got up and went in the stores every day. And got high, and my son came home to me in that state of mind. He was 18 years old. My aunt, who had always raised him, had died. My family member who always got my kids when I was on drugs, she had died, and so one day my son came into my house. My family members had apartments. Property, so she put my 18-year-old son up in a duplex, a one-bedroom duplex, and I went into stores and supplied food and all of that, but I knew I was wrong. I just knew I was wrong. It didn't set good with me. It didn't set good with me. I just knew I was wrong. I was sick and tired, but didn't know what else to do, y'all, because I had tried so many times and failed. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do, so this particular day, August the 11th, I got cleaned on the 12th, April 12th, my son came in my house, and he had met everybody in that little dope-infested complex. He was trying to sell dope. He got out thinking he was going to be the dope man. And he came in there. He came in my apartment, and he told me to try some dope. That goes against my grain. I'm finna start buying dope from my son. And when he came in, he was looking so frazzled and moving so fast. You know how you move when you're high on something. It took all that I had not to break down in front of him. I said, "Oh Lord, my baby using dope now," is what I thought. And when he went out that door, I'll never forget. I yelled out to God, "Help me!" from the pit of my stomach. The pit of my stomach, and I fell to my knees. I was hollering out to God, "Help me, help me. What I'm going to do if he's using drugs and I'm on drugs? I can't help him. God, you got to help me." And I called the CARES house. They had told me they didn't give me all the tools they can give me. You know what to do. You just got to do it. They told me, "Well, just get," I had been start calling them in November, this April, because, you know, it's Christmas time. My girls are getting older. They 13 and 14, and, you know, they coming over. You know, my family, they knew that they could trust me with the kids, that I was, so they came over on the weekends and stuff, and, you know, I still had a bond with my kids, but I got down on my knees, and I cried out to the Lord, and CARES House said, I called him after he left out the door. I called the CARES House. And Sister Eunice, Lyle's sister, answered the phone. And she said, "Sherry, we don't know what we can do for you. We done all we can do. You know?" She was like, "Well, are you serious?" And I said, "Sister Eunice, I need help. I need help. I don't know what to do. I'm going to die like this." And Sister Eunice said, "Well, we'll take it to staffing. I'll call you back tomorrow." And she called me back the next day, April 12th. And she said, "If you can get here by 3 o'clock, we'll give you a bed." And I packed that house up in a few hours. And I called my son and I told him, "Take me to the CARES house." And when I walk into that house, he specializes in broken cases. He specializes in broken cases. When we weak, he's strong. This time I was so weak that I let him. I let him come in and I let him take over. I didn't know what else to do. I was 42 years old and I didn't know which way was up. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do, but God came in and, you know, I got to the CARES house and it's a faith-based program. Every morning we have chapel. And I think the first day I went in there, he started doing something. I cried every chapel. I cried. He was cleaning me from the inside out. This time I didn't care about the clothes. The women at the CARES house is the best dressed women. We get donations out of this world. And you know, I had done that before though. I go in them be ready to fight over the donations. Okay? Them my shoes. I had dressed up the outside for so many years that this time God had to come in and clean up the inside. And every time I would in the past I would go there, get clean, get some weight on me, you know, get my skin color back. And then I want to go see the dope people. I want to go show my old friends how I look. A distraction. A distraction. Or I want to tell them what they need to do. They need to come to a meeting. Or they need to get them a bed at the CARES house. And before I know it, I'll be smoking with them. I don't return back to the program because I'm over there visiting those old friends. This time around, I got me a sponsor, y'all. I got me a sponsor. I worked me some steps. I did 90 and 90 like they suggest. And those 12 steps, God sent those. By the time you get to the 12th one, you got a a contact with a relationship with God. They call it a higher power, but it's God. By that spiritual awakening, by the time you get to that 12th step, you got, I worked some steps in that space. I didn't care what Amy and Stacy was doing in the Kara's house. I was working on a relationship with God this time, y'all. I was working on a relationship. A lady would come to the Kara's house every Monday morning, and she would teach about. She would do different devotions, but she told me one day, she said, there's 31 Proverbs. She said, and you know, there's usually 31 days in a month. She said, what I do is read me a proverb every day. And on the if it's only 30 days in that month, I read two that, you know, on the 30th day, I'll read 30 and 31. She said, it's going to teach you discernment and self-control and wisdom. I stayed at the Kara's house 19 months. I was scared to leave this time. This time I wasn't counting the days down, you know, like when I'm going to get the kids back or trying to get a job. I was scared to go to work. I was scared to death. So if you ain't a little fearful in recovery this time at that recovery house, you got a plan. You might be on your way back to using real soon. This time I didn't have no plan, y'all. And God was able to come in and put me on his plan. He was able to enforce his will in my life this time. Because I didn't have a plan. I didn't have no plan. All those other times I was doing it in my strength. I know how to go out and get a job. I know how to go out and get a man that'll take care of me. The dope man. Pay my bills. This time I ain't leave the recovery house. You know how you get your evening hours. You're supposed to be at a meeting, but you laying up with your man. I ain't do that this time. I was scared. I was fighting for my life, y'all. I was fighting for my life, and I did it the way they said it. I would come home in the evening. You know, we at Kara's house, we do groups all day. We get learning the tools that it take to live life on life terms, one day at a time. So all morning long, we in groups. And it was, y'all, God, when you allow God to come in, he will give you a peace that's unshakable. I walked around that house singing every day. I wake up with joy in my heart. He'll give you a joy. Amen. He'll give you a joy in the midst of the storm. He'll give you a joy when we allow him to. But what Lyle say, he ain't going to molest me. He ain't going to molest you. He give us free will. He give us free will. And in those 19 months, I read me a Proverbs every day. And I started going to a meeting that I still go to every Thursday. 8 years, every Thursday, I've been going to a meeting. I used to do five a week. Now I'm down to two, Mondays and Thursdays. Because I still want to be recovering. I don't want to just be clean. I still want to be recovering. I don't want to be angry. You know, when you're recovering, you still got some joy, peace. When you're just clean, you're hateful. I see clean people, you know, that don't have no joy, no peace. But I ain't they judge. I want to be in recovery today. I want to love. I want to be loved. I want to share hope. So I still do some of the same things that I did. Because early on, one of them times in them 25 years, they told me when I stop doing what I did in the beginning, I'm on my way to relapse. See, it's fine and good right now to be sitting in this room because you got to. You're weak. The stronger you get, the more you think you'll need God. And I done got a house. I done bought a house. My finances are straight. I got a good credit score. But I know I still need God today. I know I still need him. Because when I wake up in the morning, my mind starts going 100 miles an hour. If I ain't careful, I wake up angry. Because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when I wake up automatically, my mind's saying, do this, do that. You got to. Pay attention when you wake up in the morning where your thoughts at. You got to take every thought captive. And just because I got 8 years, it ain't no different. He still come at me. He still come at me. When I wake up in the morning, if I ain't careful, I can get up running and ain't even said thank you, God. And then my day is messed up. But you know what? We can start it all over. When you got a relationship with him, you'll know, hey, wait. I forgot to pray. Invite him back in. And you'll be rerouted. I don't know. I wish I could had a magic wand where I could just give it to everybody, but we all got to walk this walk. My journey is my journey, but I focus on the similarities today and not the differences. We got a lot of similarities. My story is my story, but I bet you can find something that you relate to in it if you use drugs like I used them. And God ain't no respecter. He don't discriminate. He don't care if you're a man or a woman, fat or skinny, black or white. He love us all the same. And if he did it for me, he'll do it for you too. Standing there. He's standing there. I don't know. I just asked the Holy Spirit to speak through me tonight. And the distractions was my main focus. Because it's always distractions, y'all. Especially early on in recovery. And if you got 60 days, you're still fighting for your life. You're still fighting for your life. I didn't try recovery with just church and no meetings. For me, I got to do them both. When I did church and no meetings, I went back. I got to still be reminded. I got to see that person who come in for the first time and get their chip. I got to be reminded how it was. Because, see, we'll forget. When we get a little time on our belt, we forget what it was like. I did that before, too, in them 25 years. Forget what it was like and find myself back in the crack house. We deal with a disease that's cunning and baffling and very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. And it don't do none of us different. It don't care either. It don't discriminate. It do us all the same, too. It's going to take us all down. Whip you. It don't discriminate. I just hope I shared a little hope. Because he really want to sift us like wheat. We got to be vigilant about this thing. And I do know that for the last 8 years of my life, I wake up and I thank God every morning and ask him, your will be done and not mine, because that's the biggest problem, my will. Flesh. What I want. It ain't always the best thing for me. Today I take rejections well, because I know who I serve. I know who I serve. He ain't want me to have it yet. I ain't got to go get high about it. And I don't look for my I don't look for love from a man today. He give me all I need. He'll fill you up. He'll fill you up when we allow him. But we gotta allow him to, God. We gotta allow him to. Yeah. Passionate about this thing, y'all. Real passionate. Because it's life or death, and the dope that's out there today is taking people out. It was ugly when I stopped. I was about to lose my mind. Y'all was on the, I was, Tanja, tell them. I was seeing people in the, thinking people was in the house. I was about to lose my mind. Buying a different toothbrush every day, thinking people messing with my hair grease. Shooting a gun in the house, thinking people were in the attic. I was about to lose my mind. And if I don't tell you my story, you wouldn't know it. I've been on my job since I've been clean. Since I've been clean. And if I don't tell you my story, you wouldn't know it. Because he cleans us up. He makes beautiful things out of dust. Beautiful things. But we got to let him, y'all. I challenge everybody. While you in these recovery houses, build you a firm foundation that won't shake. His name is Jesus Christ. He won't shake. He won't even let you bump your toe, lest your foot be stumble. He's a firm foundation. I experienced the unthinkable. You know, 6 years clean and sober, my 21-year-old was shot and killed at the gas station. And I did get all my kids back, y'all. He's a restorer. He's a restoration. I got all my kids back home while I was there. In a little bit of short time, he turned stuff around for everything. He says in his word that he can work all things for the good of those who love him and are called to his good purpose. So all my kids came back home. My 21-year-old was killed at the gas station, January 14th, made 2 years. And I know it's a God. Because I'm still supposed to be medicated somewhere. That was the best excuse I could get to go use. He comforted me in that. Amen. And I built a network of people this time around that surrounded me. Even if I thought about it, they wasn't going to let me go. I built some people, some recovering people, some people who had my best interests at hand. I got people like that on my team today. They was at my house on the porch when I left the hospital. My pastor was waiting for me. Get you a foundation of recovering people that want to do the same thing you want to do. Yeah, the recovery houses, they only can do so much. We got to do the rest. And they tell you, get you a foundation of recovering people. Built your network up while you went there. They give you 6 months. Care's House give you 12. They give you a year. Most of them give you 3 to 6 months to get yourself together. Build your foundation of recovering people. Get your network. And most of all, get a relationship with that man who ain't going to leave your side. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I done found that to be true these 8 years. That's what you do. Instead of trying to find a mate or the best job, what we do, go back to school, try to get an education. All that stuff gonna fail. I did it. owe about $50,000 worth of loans. Because the first time I was, you know, all them years I get clean, I always had to go back to school, try to get my degree. This time I'm six weeks away from it, being a licensed addictions counselor. This time I'm 6 weeks away from it. I'm telling you, my worst day in recovery is when my baby was killed. And that's better than my best day using. You know? Ain't no fun in that, y'all. Sometimes we have to keep on doing it. They say insanity, doing the same thing, expecting different results. I did that for 25 years. I can tell you about it, so you ain't got to do it. But somebody stood up here in autumn, and I would, you know, the hope would be shared to me. Boy, when I went to the meeting and heard how it works, I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do what they told me. Take some suggestions this time, and you won't have to come back. I'm going to keep coming, y'all. Pray for me, and I'm going to pray for y'all. That's all I got.